Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy!
Thank you for listening. This is Anna McCoy reading an excerpt from Kathy Black's book called Basic Black, in covering the case study on pages 93 to 102 on Make Your Moment Count, O, the O magazine. I'm going to be sharing with you about making your moment count, seizing your moments, seizing the opportunities when it's an opportunity for you to win. My inspiration comes from Kathy Black's book, Oprah Case Study, Making Your Moment Count. It's on page 93 to 102. Now, one of the things I'll do is I'll read a little bit, and then I'm going to share the principle with you. And there are about 16 principles that I've identified in this case study that can help you become very successful and significant in what you're trying to achieve. In late January 1999, I traveled back to my hometown of Chicago for a meeting, but not just any meeting. I come with Ellen Levine, then the editor-in-chief of Hearst's Good Housekeeping magazine, to make a presentation at Oprah Winfrey's production company, Harpo Inc. We wanted to pitch Oprah on the idea of doing her own magazine. Oprah was already hugely successful by then, with a top-rated television show and Oscar nomination for a starring role in The Color Purple and the numerous Emmy Awards to her name. Her message of optimism and self-acceptance had proven an inspiration for tens of millions of women. Her book club was having an unprecedented impact on the publishing world, and she'd moved steadily up the most influential people list. But although we were thrilled to get in the door at Harpo, Oprah had made it clear she was far from sold on the idea of doing a magazine. You know, she told Ellen, lots of people have brought this up to me, and I'm not really interested in doing a magazine. But come on out to Chicago and we'll talk. We were scheduled to meet with Oprah's lawyer, agent Jeff Jacobs, and we didn't know whether Oprah herself would come. I'd never met Oprah, but I was convinced her clear, uplifting message and personal charisma would make her a natural for a magazine. Oprah was understandably protective of her name and image, so we needed to reassure her on two points. My first principle, we're going to talk about branding you, the brand called you. Now, what Kathy Black identifies is that although it sounds like a great idea, but one of the things that's very important is your reputation, your brand, your image, and what others think about you. So now this is, I believe, something they had to really think about, because how are we going to convince Oprah to do this and still be able to present to her the excellence in which she is accustomed to working in? So here we have it. She said we had to reassure Oprah of two points. First, that a magazine would be a positive vehicle for her message, and second, that Hearst was the right partner for her in such a venture. And now, second principle is that when you're trying to do business with someone, you need to understand who your customer is, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but more importantly, are you the right fit? Can you identify those areas of synergy even before you can get in front of that client? Are you thoroughly convinced that you are indeed the right partner, and you also have. Now, you got to remember, even when you have an idea, it doesn't mean that you're the only one with that idea. Sometimes things are very obvious. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. I mean, just the natural person on the street corner can figure out what a great opportunity this would be for Oprah Winfrey to do a magazine because of her love for the written word. I mean, this whole idea of promoting reading and opportunity and lifestyle and spirit, what a great idea. Okay, well, five other people thought so too. So Ellen and I were shown into a small, tastefully decorated conference room and seated at a long table. Jeff Jacobs came in with a couple of people from Harpo's public relations team, and we started the meeting. We hadn't gotten much beyond opening pleasantries when the door to the conference room suddenly swung open, and Oprah breezed in. I've met a lot of powerful, charismatic people over the years, from politicians to CEOs to movie stars. It comes with the job. But I honestly have never in my life met anyone who transformed a room like Oprah Winfrey. She's like a 10,000-watt bulb, an electrifying presence. She looked just like she does on TV, with a familiar sweep of hair, expressive eyes, and ready smile. Yet somehow it felt completely different seeing her in person. I know it sounds strange, but the aura Oprah brings into a room is just dazzling. For a brief second after she walked in, I was speechless. Then I stuck out my hand to greet her. This was the moment we'd been waiting for. Now remember, she had no idea. She was not sure if Oprah would be in this meeting. She says, "I truly believed we could create a fantastic, groundbreaking magazine with Oprah, and now here we were, face to face, with our one chance to convince her. Were we ready?" That's your question. Are you ready to seize your moment, to make your moment count? Kathy Black says in her book, "Were we ready?" It was time to seize the moment. Now, let's put that meeting on freeze frame for just a second. What do I mean by seize the moment? It might not be what you're thinking, so let me explain. We knew we had just this one shot with Oprah, so that morning, Ellen and I had taken extra care to make sure we were completely ready. Now, it is so important for you to consider.
Lady, when they went for the meeting, to
first
talk
of all, you have one shot, and you've got to make that one shot count.
Her book, she put
number two is you need to be prepared. And when Kathy Black refers to the extra care that was taken, she is talking about preparing herself, not only just preparing your presentation, but let me read on. She goes on to say, "We woke up early and went over our materials together. We dressed to impress, made sure we got to Harpo's offices 15 minutes early, and we're both pumped and ready to go." Now, this is why preparation is so important. Not only must you prepare your presentation, you must also prepare and role play with your team members, and you're going to learn a few other things as we continue this case study, but you need to role play with others. And if you don't have a team member, you need to find someone who will role play with you, whether it's a spouse, a child, a friend, a buddy, somebody who can role play this moment, which could possibly be your greatest moment in life. When Oprah walked in, my adrenaline kicked in and I was on, ready to give the most energetic, dynamic presentation I could. Now, you have to remember, sometimes I've seen people in presentations, once they get in front of a person, a lot of times they will judge the energy based on the recipients who are listening or the audience. And what's really important here is that you must have enthusiasm, you must have energy. Remember, this is your idea, this is your dream, this is your moment that you're ready to convey this vision and this idea to those who are listening. So do not be influenced by the energy in the room. Let your energy take over the room and give your best, be your best, do your best. It's the only opportunity you have. Yet none of this would have mattered if we hadn't begun seizing our moment weeks before the actual moment came. Now remember that first, one of the first principles I share with you is preparation. It's important that you prepare physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually for these types of events. You need to give your thought process, you need to run this through the woman think, your ideas in, your actions out. You need to be on. You need to be prepared. This next principle, when she says, we began seizing our moment moments or weeks before the actual moment. I call that seizing your moment in the future. That means that you're going to do something now that is going to have a direct effect on your future now. And this is what they began to do. She said, as soon as we learned we'd get a meeting at Harpo, Ellen, Deborah Shriver, and I sprang into action to prepare the most complete and compelling presentation we could. We did meticulous research to lay the groundwork for our presentation to shine. It's like building a spectacular new home. No matter how beautiful or stylish the architecture may be, a house is worth nothing if it lacks the plain old unglamorous foundation that takes so much spade work to create. So now, this is what you need to understand, is that just like these three women came together, they sprang into action. Their adrenaline, they were flowing. They were ready to get this done. They were ready to risk it all to get it done because they knew that this was not a moment that could be wasted. So they seized their moment now for a future now. And that means they were ready to start to prepare. So another thing that's really important for you is research. Know your client. Research recurrent articles, visit their website, and most of all, you should know your client's pulse. You can't ask enough questions. You can't do enough research in order to prepare for your moment. You need to build a foundation on which you can build upon. Remember I said that in the beginning, you have to know, is this the right partner? Is this the right relationship for you to begin to partake of? Are you thoroughly convinced that you have what it takes to make this relationship work and that you also understand the pulse of your potential client? Now, here she says, weeks before the meeting, we started gathering material for our presentation. We wanted Oprah to really sense the possibilities of the magazine. Now, I love this because she says, now, we started researching, we started thinking about it, and we had to really think about what did we want out of this. And see, we've seen so many things of what they wanted. They wanted a complete, a compelling presentation. They also wanted to make sure that they could create a sense of the possibilities that this magazine would make. It wasn't about just producing a magazine or creating mock-ups for a magazine. It was saying, can we present an idea that we can present the possibilities beyond what we are doing now? Can we make Oprah see the opportunities of the future? Oh, my God, I just love it. And so they said, she goes on to say, so Ellen and a small editorial and art team created pages for her to touch and feel. And this is so important. This is the principle we call, now, presentation is great, or communication is great, but communication without presentation is not effective or as effective. And what we mean by that, just as Kathy Black had her team of individuals begin to create pictures, perceptions. Not only that, they created the magazine or the mock magazine that she could actually touch and feel. She goes on to say, Ellen put together mock covers with several logos and different typefaces to show Oprah what her magazine might look like. And here's that principle. You need evidence. Evidence when it comes to your idea, your thought process, the things that you want to do, the things that you're trying to achieve, the vision that you're trying to convey to someone, you need evidence, evidence that brings your product or service to life. Presentation is more powerful than communication. It brings visualization because believing is achieved through seeing. Oh, boy, and then she added the touch feel, that she could actually touch and feel this. I mean, she is thinking about, and really this is a part of the foundation that she and her team has desired and also set a goal to accomplish. So here we have, she says, they put these samples together with different typefaces to show Oprah what her magazine might look like. She said, we ordered a variety of high-quality paper samples so she could feel the gloss for herself and see which ones she liked. We bound some of those blank pages together to give her a feel of the weight and heft of her magazine. And we even created mock tables of contents to show the range of what her magazine could cover month after month. I mean, I just love that. And see, sometimes we don't want to do all of the work that is necessary. I call this is the pre-work or the pre-winning when it comes to a client. You may find yourself in a situation where you don't want to do all the details of the proposal until you can get a yes to go to the next level. But here we have an example of the principles that are being put forth from the foundation to a complete, a compelling presentation that they went the extra mile. Now, remember, I want you to keep in mind that there were five other executives who approached Oprah, but none of them got to first base. And here we have our team, Kathy Black's team. They're on first base. But listen, they have a plan to hit a home run. When she started talking about, listen, we've got to get into action, we've got to spring into action because we've got to win. This is our moment to make it count. This is our moment to hit a home run. Well, what we're seeing is that we actually see her team moving through the bases. They're on first base when they make a decision. We're going to create a complete and compelling presentation for her. They understand who the client is. They are convinced that they are the right partner. So if you are convinced that you are indeed the right partner, do the work necessary to make the other person or the party understand, visualize, and see what you see. They need to sense the possibilities that this relationship can bring to their organization. Now we have, she says, they put this all together so that she can see what this could bring from month to month. And it's important that you understand, even with the table of contents, I mean, now not only are we just putting colors together, we're just putting nice graphics. I mean, everybody can do that, and we can do something really nice. But if we take the time, we're going to think about some of the topics that she can cover and make it complementary to what she's already doing with her shows, with her seasons. What could we do? She's got these Oprah and Friends. She's got all sorts of things going on. She's having experts coming back and forth. How could we now begin to think about how can we extend the topics she covers on her on-air shows? The case study goes on to say, two nights before our meeting in Chicago, Debbie Allen and I sat in a conference room at Hearst preparing our presentation packets. Now, I want to stop here for 1 second because I have embraced this principle. Preparation is so important, but even more so, when you're preparing for a presentation, you need to embrace and really begin to understand. Don't wait till the day before your presentation is due, is to create your packages, to do all the work that's necessary, to stay up to at the late hour. You need to start preparing that presentation. Set a goal to prepare 2 days prior to a meeting. When we have our Woman Act Now meetings, there are several things that we need to do. And our principle and practice is that we will take care of any meeting that we have, any production that's required for a meeting. We need to plan 2 days out, at least 2 days out, when it comes to preparation, food, whatever the case may be, materials that we want to make sure that on those 2 days before that we are ready to do it that day. That's what I mean. Now, you may need more time or less time, but I'm telling you, if you want to be the best that you can be and put your best foot forward, let your target date be at least 2 days before. And don't just make it 2 days before, but you should be committed to completing that project as if you're going to do it 2 days prior to its due date. So two nights before they have their meeting in Chicago, Debbie, Deb, Alan, and I sat in a conference room at Hearst preparing our presentation packets. As we sat together stuffing papers into portfolio folders, I suddenly felt transported back to Ms. Magazine, to the days when our whole advertising team would work together stuffing envelopes and getting ready for sales trips. It had been years since I'd done anything like this, and I was loving every minute of it. The three of us talked and laughed as we worked, and our excitement grew about the upcoming meeting. The next day, a Wednesday, Ellen and I flew to Chicago. We wanted to get there a day early so we wouldn't risk being late if something went wrong with our flight. That night in my hotel room, I lay awake thinking about the next morning's meeting. We'd done everything we could to prepare, and as I went over our presentation in my mind, I felt confident that we'd also followed the second rule of seizing your moment. And this second rule is tailor your message to your audience. But before I go to the next part of this, another thing that we should remember is on time is ahead of time. Okay? Arrive 15 minutes earlier, more if setup is required. But being on time is arriving ahead of time. And one of the things I liked is that they were going to Chicago and they wanted to make sure, let me go a day ahead so that if I'm going to experience any delays, I will be there for the time of my meeting. So the principle is, if you have to travel anywhere, whether you're driving or you're flying, don't wait to the last minute. Don't try to take the early flight out and try to get there for your meeting. Go the night before. You need to make your moment count. The other thing she said was she laid there and she began to think about her presentation. And this is visualization, that when you're ready to make this great opportunity, the night before, you need to visualize. You need to be able to see what you're going to do. You need to imagine what this could possibly be like. So take the time to go through it. Don't pack your day so full that you don't have this time just to lay down and rest and begin to visualize your success. So the second rule of seizing your moment is tailoring your message to your audience. When Oprah walked into that room, she was as focused and open to our message as she would ever be. So the first thing we did was speak to her in a language she knew better than any of us. So now you have to understand your audience. So this next principle is make sure your audience is prepared for your message. Verify that they understand why you are there. Check your environment and eliminate interruption. Now, what's important about this is that whatever you can do, oftentimes, and one of the things I've seen in sales is that salespeople are afraid to call and confirm and get the details of a meeting for fear that meeting will be canceled. It is better for you to understand the complete details of why you're meeting with someone or why someone is meeting with you. Provide them with materials in advance if you have them. If it's necessary for them to be aware. In this case, it was more important for them to bring their information, present it at that moment rather than sending that information ahead. Now, it's also important that when you create this environment, that whether you ask permission, you ask individuals to turn off their cell phones, if you have control of the situation, you try to create an atmosphere and environment that you know you can win in. So here she says, we'd like to show you a video. Now, I love the fact that she says, know your audience. And in this particular situation, she asks, she's thinking, you know, we've got to present to Oprah in a way that she really understands. What's her language? Her language is visual presentation. She's got to be able to see it, to believe it, to move on it, to act on it. She could really embrace this. And so they were wise enough to be able to speak her language rather than pushing a bunch of paper in front of her folders and nice graphics and all of that. They actually went to the source of the way she receives information. So
she
received information. She said, "We'd like to show you a video," I said, and asked for the lights to be dimmed. On a large television screen at the front of the room, the video launched with a woman's voiceover saying, "She's down to earth. I mean, I can kind of relate to her." For the next 4 minutes, we all watched as the video cut between clips of women randomly interviewed at a Virginia shopping mall, urging Oprah to do a magazine. "You go, girl," and Ellen Levine explaining how and why it would work. "TV whets your appetite," Ellen said at one point, "and magazines feel your stomach." Don't you love that? She said, "Once we see it, oh, we see it and they say, oh, that's pretty good. Oh, I'd like to know more about that." But we always go to the written word. We go to the internet, which is the written word. It's electronic format. We go somewhere where we can read more about this thing we heard about. So she says that, you know, Oprah, when you do your show, you just kind of whet people's appetite. You know, you kind of stir them up. But they really want more. They're still hungry. And you know what? If you do a magazine, oh, my God, you will fill their stomach. So it wasn't expensive or slickly produced, but the video was definitely compelling. Now, remember, their primary foundation of doing this presentation was to do a complete and compelling presentation. Now what they're doing, they're tapping into that client's knowledge base, into what they understand by showing this video. And one of the things that I really love about this is that they learned to speak their language, but the other part is that they got third-party endorsers. Those third-party endorsers were Oprah's fans, not the industry, not just anybody. They went to people who watch her product, who partake of her online presence. They went to the folks who love Oprah. They got them to do these short videos, interviewed and surveyed people, and they brought that to Oprah. Who is better at convincing her rather than some industry exec saying, yes, just do this, rather than going to the source, those individuals who would be keeping her in business if she chose to do this magazine. So it's really awesome is that they went. Remember I said you have to go the extra mile. Remember those five executives? They're never on first base. Now, I mean, we see our girls. They're going around the what do you call that in baseball? But they're making their way around the bases. So now they're on second base because they're speaking her language. She's starting to look and she's engaged. She can understand. Why? Because they're speaking the customer's language. So it says this video wasn't, you know, greatly produced or slickly produced, but it was compelling. When I glanced at Oprah, she was completely absorbed in it, watching intently, yet with a slight smile on her face. Here were the everyday women she reached through her television show, and they were practically begging her to do a magazine. The excitement of the women on screen was palpable. And as I watched the video in that darkened room, I felt it too. Now, they're moving. I believe they're making their way around this space. Remember, their intent is to hit a home run here. Their intent is to win. Their intent is to seize and make this moment count. The lights went back up, and Ellen and I immediately handed out our packets of materials. The cover mock-ups, tables of contents, glossy paper samples, and bound prototype magazine. Oprah is not only a very visual person, but a very tactile one, too. So we wanted her to have something to touch and feel. She smiled as she flipped slowly through the pages, but we were not there yet. We're still on two. We're ready to see if we can steal the third base, but we're not really sure. We're not there yet. Even though she was engrossed in the video. She was intent. She showed us just a hint of acceptance of that she was getting this. And then when we gave her those magazines and mock-ups and all of those things, but I'm really not sure. She's
there yet. Don't put nothing on hold. If somebody called while this radio program
is going on. So here she tells us, as Oprah said later in a speech at the annual American Magazine Conference, they had this fabulous presentation. It was just dazzling. But I said, no, you know, I just feel that I have a lot of responsibilities. I've done thousands of shows. I see no reason why I should get involved in the magazine business. I really don't even know anything about it, except I've bought magazines myself over the years. And this was the crux of the matter. What was the upside for Oprah? Already so busy taping two shows daily and doing a magazine. For most people, the upside would be things like increased personal visibility, the potential for big profit, and the chance to expand the brand. But anyone who followed Oprah's career knew these weren't the things that motivated her. Oprah had become successful not because she sought success, but because she offered an authentic, sincere message that audiences wholeheartedly embrace: to live your best life. She was about connection, and she would only want to do a magazine if she believed it would offer an effective additional channel for getting that message out. Now, here is the language. You have to learn to speak the language. You have to know the pulse of your client. And remember, we started early on as she began to talk about those things that were really important to Oprah as she began to share with her audience this uplifting message. And we have to keep in line, and many of us, this is what we call what's in it for me. Is that not what's in it for you, but you need to understand what's in it for your client. Is this the best thing for them? And you have to remember that everyone is not motivated by money. And surely in this case, Oprah was not motivated by money, fame, notoriety, because she had all of those things. And what would a magazine logically do for someone would be more exposure, more fame, more notoriety, and perhaps more money. But none of those things were the resounding reason why Oprah would choose to do this. You want to know why you should do a magazine, Ellen said? Because you love the written word. And a magazine is the written word. It is tangible. You can pass it on. It stays with you. Oprah nodded and continued to flip through the pages. I believe also is that what Oprah probably was thinking is that, you know, this magazine will have shelf life, can create legacy. I mean, people can continue to go back to it, whether it's in actual physical form or electronic form. It is something that will certainly outlive me. Not that the audio or the video would not do the same, but it's something that can outlive me. It's great information that could outlive me. And, you know, Oprah is always talking about dream a dream bigger than you are. And so here is something that is certainly a dream. May not have been her dream, but it was a company that recognized, although it may not have been a stated dream, it was something that could have fit into her overall vision. And here we have it. She says, with her hugely successful book club, Oprah was of course no stranger to the power of the printed word. She loves to read and has spoken movingly about how books and magazines offered her a respite from her difficult childhood. Ellen continued, "You go on the air every day. You say what you say, and no doubt you say a lot of good things. But then it's gone. It's out there. Who knows where it is? But the written word, you can hold it in your hand. You can come back to it." You know, that's legacy, is that you can come back to this. You can put it on the coffee table. You can put it in the car. You can put it in the bathroom. But you can come back to this. Once you're off the air and you're not TiVo'd, you're not recorded, those words are just out into the atmosphere. And, you know, frankly, we just need to see it more than once. And so this is such a great opportunity. Now, if you subscribe to the idea of business being all about numbers, this pitch might seem pretty foolish. Now, of course, we don't believe that. We believe that we have to pitch to the intrinsic value of what things are, what relationships are. And that's a principle that you want to live by. You need to understand what the benefits are to your client. Your benefits are not always monetary. However, what they should entail, and you should make sure that you can identify the benefits that you're offering your customer, such as peace, such as security, ease of use, spreading a message, all of those which are intrinsic value do have value to your client. So here we have yet the beauty of pitching Oprah Winfrey on her own terms with message rather than money and with personal impact rather than profit was that it was also a sound business strategy. Now, that's extremely important. At least your strategy needs to be a sound business strategy, a sound business model, so that you could begin to move forward. Kathy Black says, in my experience, you can't start or grow a successful magazine if you focus solely on the numbers, advertising, circulation, or any other metric. First and foremost, you have to offer a compelling and differentiated product to readers. The rest will follow. Oprah's authenticity had already proven to be incredibly compelling, so it didn't make sense to focus on the metrics, as those weren't what motivated Oprah anyway. Numbers didn't matter. What motivated Oprah was message and personal impact rather than money and profit. In fact, during the whole 90-minute meeting, we didn't discuss specific metrics at all. We talked about what the magazine might look like, what it could be called. Spirit was one of the early suggestions, though we always hoped that Oprah would put her name on it. And whom it would serve, the feeling in the room started to shift. In fact, it started to feel like the atmosphere of the Oprah show, positive, warm, and optimistic. And that's what this magazine is all about today. Now, fortunately, we had a head start with Oprah in terms of winning her trust. Over the years, she'd been on the cover of Good Housekeeping several times. Those issues were always bestsellers. And she appreciated the fact that we'd always been straightforward in our stories and our dealings with her. Our writers had never tried to trick her into revealing something juicy or embarrassing, and she liked the cover photos our editors had chosen. In fact, she once told Ellen that a Good Housekeeping photo of her and her two dogs was her favorite cover ever. So, thanks in large part to Ellen, we had an established level of trust to build on. And that's another principle, is given the opportunity, build trust with your client. Always take the high road. And what we see here is that you have to be careful because, you know, the circle of life will bring things back around. And you have to protect your reputation, because more people know you by your reputation than who know you. An example is, more people know the President of the United States than who personally know him, and they know him by his reputation. The actions he's taken, the laws he's helped to pass, his stand on different things, they know the President based on reputation rather than personal interaction. So it's very important that you protect the opportunities when given an opportunity to interact with a client. At one point, Oprah said, you know, a couple of days ago, a woman in the audience stood up after the show and said, you should do a magazine. Someone in our meeting made a crack about whether Hearst had planted that person. We didn't, in parentheses, but by now it appeared clear that for Oprah, many factors seem to be coming together. She operates very much on gut instinct. And fortunately for us, we tapped into something. It was timing. It is so important that your timing is accurate, that you're in that wormhole of opportunity, that you're moving at the right time, because then all, as they say, all of the planets of the universe begin to align for your passage, for your purpose. And this is what's starting to happen in this case. And then we say, as we wrapped our Kathy says, as we wrapped our presentation, Oprah prepared to go. She told us she hadn't made up her mind yet about whether to do a magazine, and she said she wanted to pray about it. But then she added in that velvet voice, if I do one, I'll do it with Hearst. With that, she left the room. Now, you know, a no ain't a no until it's a no, and you have to remember that. You keep hope alive, and here we have it. What do they possibly do after this meeting to move her from the possibility of not doing a magazine to doing a magazine? So Ellen and I managed to pack our things, shake hands with Jeff Jacobs and the Harpo Public Relations team, and get all the way down to our waiting car before erupting like a couple of shrieking teenagers. In the back seat of the car, we high-fived like we just won the Super Bowl, laughing and then fumbling for a phone so we could call Deb Shriver. She answered on the first half ring, so how'd it go? She got out before our delighted whoops told the story. Launched in April 2000, the Oprah magazine quickly became the most successful magazine startup in history. While most magazines take at least 5 years to become profitable, O turned a profit from its very first issue. Adweek named O the Startup of the Year, and Advertising Age named it Best Magazine of the Year and Best Launch of the Year. It has continued to win numerous magazine awards through the years, and it is Hearst's second most profitable magazine, even though we split the profits with Oprah 50-50. Under the guidance of Oprah, Editor-in-Chief Amy Gross, and Editor-at-Large Gail King, O is a consistently superior editorial product. During its 7 years in existence, it has succeeded in reaching a constituency that was craving the positive message it delivers, and has expanded Oprah's message in just the way we hoped and expected. Yet it pays to remember that we'd never have gotten off the ground with Oprah if we hadn't seized our moment in that critical meeting. More often than not, you get only one real chance to make your pitch. So make it count. And remember, I want to go over those principles for you. Principle number one is preparation. Be prepared for your great opportunities, for making your moment count. Number two is seize your moment in the future. That means you start doing and taking actions right now in this 2 to 5 seconds that will affect your future now. Take actions now that will impact your future now. Role play with others. If you don't have a team member, find someone who will role play with you. Call up somebody. This is too important for you to just walk in cold turkey. Number five, walk it out in your mind. See the end of the moment. See the alternatives and don't avoid the bad ones. Master them. You want to go over this process. You want to set goals for this opportunity. Do you want a complete, compelling presentation that will get you the result when you walk out? How are you going to convey your vision? You need to research. Know your client. Research. Read your articles. Visit their website. Know your client's pulse. Then you need to build a foundation. What are you building up on as it relates to this particular presentation or this particular opportunity? You have to start from somewhere. And where they started was creating this presentation that not only talking about this and visualizing and creating a concept, but they started with the foundation of being able to make Oprah see. So what's your foundation? It's you need to decide on where are you going to start this, what are your goals and objectives in coming out of this meeting. Now, I can't stress this enough, evidence. You need evidence to support your concept and bring your product or service to life. Presentation is more powerful than communication, but the two of them colliding together can really create a winning combination. Then we have our next principle is on time is ahead of time. Arrive 15 minutes early for the meeting. Don't go running in there 2 minutes to the time that you're supposed to meet looking disheveled, your hair's all blown, you've had no time to get yourself together, or, you know, go in prepared, sit, think about your thoughts, write a few notes if necessary, but be prepared. Also, if you have to travel to a location, go the day before so that you do not risk cancellations, delays, detours. Make sure you're there ahead of time. You only have one chance. Then the night before, visualize. Success breeds confidence. Take time, give yourself time to prepare your body, to prepare your thoughts. Don't compact your day with so much that you cannot focus on this important opportunity. So you want to relax. You want to begin to visualize and see the possibilities, see the flow, see the format. You want to get together with your team the night before as you visualize. You want to prepare. Remember this principle, very important. If you're preparing a presentation, you want to make sure that you set a deadline 2 days before it's due, and you want to make sure it's done as if you had to do it on that day. Okay, in addition, the next principle is make sure your audience is prepared for your message. Remember when Oprah came into that room, she was fully prepared for this message. And verify that they understand why you're there, making sure that everyone is on the same page to give you the best opportunity. Be flexible with your presentation and prepare an abbreviated version should you be given less time. This is an important, I mean, this is your opportunity. So you need to, if you have a PowerPoint that's 10 slides, reduce it to 5 and be prepared in case your party is, disrupted or they need to cut their time short and so that you're not sitting there with like a deer in headlights. Be prepared to seize your moment. The next principle is learn, know, and speak your audience or customer's language. That's what the Hearst companies did. They spoke the language. They were able to communicate in presentation, in visualization, as well as for her to be able to touch and to feel those magazines. So know and speak your customer's language. My husband always says every industry has 10 words. Make sure you know those 10 words so that you can appear to be mature, wise, that you understand the language, and that you can handle the business. Get third-party endorsements. Remember the videos of the customers. They went to the end user of this magazine. Do what's necessary. This is taking the extra step. Don't assume. Don't just go and prepare for these types of opportunities by giving mediocre performance. Take it to the level of excellence. And then when given an opportunity, build trust with your client and always take the high road. Remember, things do come back full circle. So whenever you are given the opportunity, make it your practice to practice your business with integrity. Then finally, one pitch is all you get. Make it count. No second impression. Thank you for listening. This is Anna McCoy reading an excerpt from Kathy Black's book called Basic Black and covering the case study on pages 93 to 102 on Make Your Moment Count, the O Magazine. If you'd like to find out more about Woman Act Now, visit us at womanactnow.com. Opportunities, much I wish to be. Someone please tell me how to make my dreams reality. It takes faith, courage, and belief beyond what the eye
can see what's waiting for me, yes. No mountains too high, river too wide, gonna be all I can be. If I believe, Lord,
don't dream too small.
Tell us,
chance to reign
for you
and me.
Just believe, yeah.
For
boys,
just believe.
From yesterday and now today, tomorrow I must face. Someone please help me, decisions I've gotta make.
Oh Lord, give me the ability and the strength that I need. Walk upright and fulfill my destiny.
No mountains too high, river too wide, gonna be all I can be.
You still can be
that successful girl, that successful boy.